What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
And I'm Keith Finch.
And I'm P.E. Fitch.
And it just struck me how similar you guys' last names are, and I've known you both for years. Today's episode is brought to you
You
by
know who
Tours.
messes that up a
I have
lot? And
11.
we, yep. Well,
Charles.
my boss, Charles, the good Charles. Fun fact, long before I knew Paul, he misspelled my name, his last name, on a travel ticket, and that caused no issues with the TSA or ticketing at all, ever, whatsoever.
Speaking of the TSA, if you're listening to this, we're sponsored by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Media. And the reason why I reference the TSA is because the government's still shut down. So if you're one of our service members, TSA members, air traffic controllers, or anything like that, and you're not getting paid, that fucking sucks, dude. And I feel for you. But
That is rough out there.
the good news is that we provide this entertainment for your ear holes or your eye holes free of charge. And if you like that, go and subscribe to us on Open Ear Media, the visual platform that this is shared on, or on Spotify, friggin' Apple Podcasts, or anything like that. And if on Spotify or Apple Podcasts you hear like 30 seconds of ads, that's I check our PayPal account, well, my PayPal account, because it was the one that was linked to my RSS feed. Four whole dollars, guys. Four whole
Four
dollars.
bucks.
Yeah. Do you remember the
We're
scene?
gonna
And this
be
is.
drinking the good booze at SHOT Show this year with them
I
$4.
reference this all the time, and
I want
it's
to
one of
say a
those
Stella
like.
is nine at Circle Bar.
Jeez. The scene in the Firefly movie when they open up the safe in the very beginning of the heist, and there's like $3 in there, and
Yep.
Zoe says, "Finally, we can retire from this
We
life
can
of
retire
crime."
from this life of
I
crime.
say that all the time. Like, for example, my son is goes and sees like a play therapist, which is a real thing, and I pay for it through TRICARE. At some point this last year, I hit my cap on TRICARE Reserve Select. So what happens is, and this is the dumbest thing, but it's such a government thing, is we pay, TRICARE pays, and then TRICARE sends us a check for $38 for the cost of the therapy. And I'm like, so like every couple of weeks, I get a $38 check from TRICARE because of the way the system works for that. And the first time I got one, I opened it up and said to my wife, "Finally, we can retire from this life of crime." Oh man. Speaking of crimes, apparently the internet is upset about a dry fire device.
Yeah, it I don't even know what the brand is, but it's like half of a pistol grip with a trigger on it. And the internet has decided, not wrongly, but the internet has decided to be really upset about this and remind people that you, as a shooter, already possess a good dry fire device,
Your
and that's your
gun.
gun.
And I get, and so there are so many, and I'm friends with some of these people who work for some of these companies, so I'm not gonna throw too much shade, right? There are so many solutions for the dry fire problem. What's the dry fire problem, Caleb? It's that striker fire triggers don't reset, right? So I have two solutions for that. So you see a lot of tech solutions, right? You've got like the cool fire trainers, which I think are pretty cool. You have the cool fire trainers, you have there's the Mantis thing that allows your AR bolt to reset, stuff like
I
that.
actually like the Blackbeard for rifle specifically because you get a trigger reset and you get a laser that can interact with laser sensitive systems. So good system, especially for rifle dry fire because like striker triggers, rifle trigger doesn't reset.
How much is one of those things? Like
2 1/4.
200. Okay, so guys, here's your dry fire solution. Go buy a Taurus G3. The trigger resets. So it's got the reverse double action trigger. So the long D. So the first actual gunshot would be a short pull, like your typical striker fire trigger, but then it'll reset to a faux DA pull and just dry fire with that. There you go. I got your, and it takes Glock sights, so you can just, or do that. So just go get one of those. It's like $300, all right? Easy days. But the bit that I was going to do is the best dry fire tool, and I do mean this, is a double action revolver with a red dot on it. Because what do we know about red dots and what they tell you about your trigger pull?
They tell you a lot of information that your iron sights can't because they're too chonky. You can actually track movement with a 2 or even a 6 or a 9 minute dot because it's much more precise than an iron sight.
What's that
Oh
saying?
yeah.
Iron sights whisper, dot scream.
No, I like that. Jesus. Now I have this mental image of my dot screaming like the just I mean like not
You moved! Ah!
no,
This
it's
one
doing the fucking what's
yells in Swedish.
the Wilhelm scream or whatever it's called, you know, the into the
Yes,
kid.
yes.
And it's funny because I was just out on the range with this gun today. This is a Taurus 692 with an acro mounted to the top of it because I don't believe in height over bore.
I
Height
just
over bore
color.
can't hurt you.
I just turned in
Well,
an article
Caleb,
about that.
this gun actually does have mechanical offset inside of about 7 yards. Like there is real mechanical offset that I need to take into account
One of these
for.
days, I will regale a Steve Fisher story about offset that also involves Charles. Really fun, really demonstrative, but it is not for this day. Today is for dry fire.
So talking about this, I was out on the range with that gun today and I ran a plate rack and I hadn't shot a dot on a revolver in a while. And I watched the dot nosedive on like three of the plates. And I'm like, oh, that's why you missed low is because you hammered that trigger. Like you jumped on it way early. And I'm like, okay, cool. And that's the dot telling me that, you know, it would have been much harder to see that with a 28 MOA front sight. Especially at the speed that I'm shooting the gun. So if you would like a dry fire tool, what you want to do is you want to go get not this one. This one's expensive. This one's like $1,500. I mean, get this. Do that actually. Get a Taurus 692 executive grade and an Acro and the double plate adapter system that I have on here. Go do that. Or get a Taurus 856 Toro, which is like $300, and put a HoloSun on it and you're good to go, right? It's hugely beneficial as a dry fire tool. And I'm so.
And if you don't want to do a revolver, guys, go get the 92 clone. Go get the
Yeah.
what the latest iteration, you
BT92.
guys. Yeah, get a double action gun that can take a dot. Whether it's a SIG, whether you get a converted Beretta, whether you CZ or like get a double
I
action
was
gun so the
serious
trigger
about getting
resets,
a
and that is the hardest
G3
trigger to
Toro.
do.
So I have this theory. Let's see how where you guys fall on this. I believe that the vast majority of dry fire simulators slash devices are less training tools and more ways to compensate for the fact that dry fire is inherently incredibly boring and requires a tremendous amount of discipline to do well.
There is that second bit, and it's the same reason that like Apple and other software developers that you do UI UX systems put a lot of time and effort into making them fun and do little entertaining things here and there, because dry fire itself is a very simple, basic, very valuable thing to do. You should be doing it, but as you mentioned, it is incredibly boring because it is simplistic and procedural. And if you are not focused on it, if you are not disciplined with it, then you're not getting the benefit out of it. So a lot of the dry fire trainers, whether you're looking at something that has video interaction or interactive targets, or an app that tracks scores or motion or anything like that, all of these are giving you more fidget things to play with for the dry fire thing. And a lot of the problem with that, it's not necessarily a problem, but it's something that can become a problem, is now you have additional distractions from the discipline of the dry fire. And you can read a lot of, and some of these things can generate false positive data that if you're not backing up with live fire, like you are building other training scars because of how the data is presented through the system.
I mean, I concur, you know, entirely with that. I think the thing that I've seen most recently with that has been the evolution of Frick, I have the controller over here somewhere. Ace VR. So I have the if you guys aren't familiar with Ace VR, it is a game for the Oculus. It comes with you got to buy this handset dealie right here. This allows you to stick the Oculus controller in here and turn this into a VR gun. It is very good. It is very, very good. What I have seen is in the evolution of this program is the increasing number of users who are in it to win the game, right? Like when it first started, and I need to be very clear, I love the Ace VR guys. I wish them all the success in the world. I want them to make piles and piles of money and retire to a fucking space station or whatever. I think they're super cool. And I think what they're
Oh,
doing is really cool.
seeing that game system, seeing that setup is like that is a phenom. Even if you just think of it in an ambassador sense, that is a phenomenal ambassadorship to the shooting sports. Like, hey, you can do this in a game. Oh, by the way, you can also go shoot this sport for real life, and because you've been shooting in the game, you do have a head start. You're gonna have a different experience with live fire, but you do have a head start because you've been playing the games. You're there. You can understand the rule sets. You can understand the drills. They're here.
They're right there. They're easy.
They have
And I
like all
think
the classifiers and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's interesting about it is, you've seen the progression then from people essentially, who are using it started when it started off when Ace first launched, right? It was very much used as a dry fire replacement, as a training tool for people who were shooting matches, who were self-defense oriented, that sort of stuff. And to the credit of the developers of Ace, they realized that they could get more participation if they gamified their product itself and incented people to spend more time playing their game versus necessarily using the product as a training tool. Which I think makes perfect sense because you're trying to sell handsets, right? And you're trying to sell subscriptions, and that's how you make your money. So you need to get people to buy the handsets and do the subscription things. And now I see the pop a huge population of users who are primarily playing the game to play the game, which is great. Good for them. You know what that tells me? That tells me they made a successful product.
They
Like,
made a successful product, and we can look at it at other aspects of shooting too. I mean, we can go with something as simple as the bill drill. How many people are shooting bill drills to beat the bill drill, and not as a legitimate training tool in a greater scope of understanding getting your gun on target under a time and pressure situation, and expanding it beyond just the limited sphere of the bill drill. What Ace does, and what you can experience out of other systems like Mantis and laser ammo and all these, you can experience getting sucked into that game world and just playing the drills, beating the drills to beat the drills, and they lose that outside context that the early adoption had with like Ace.
Yeah, no, I think that's very I think that's very applicable. And I think, you see the same thing with a lot of the dry fire systems, right? Like Mantis added a gamification component to it. There's one called like Strike Man, I think, that has that same component to it. And it all goes back to the fundamental problem with dry fire is that it's fucking boring and it requires a tremendous amount of discipline. And I think what even the designers of these dry fire substitute replacement platforms discovered was that most people don't actually just want to grind on drills, right? Like the only people that want to do a one reload two drill in dry fire 200 times are psychopaths. And God bless them for it. And fun fact, those people don't stay those people forever and ever. I was one of those people once. I am not one of those people anymore. I have no interest in that. And I have some interest, but so what most people want to
It's
do.
a but with what we've got going, like it's a knock the rust off type interest. Like, oh, can I still do this? Can I still do this within, the standards? It's no longer that grind.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what's really interesting about about that and about the dry fire too. And I think the other part about this dry fire conversation that is sort of missed out on is the people who are insisting that, for the record, I think dry fire is great. I still do it. Probably not as much as I should. And I think that there are a lot of gimmicky dry fire products, like this half a grip with a trigger thing is a little bit of a gimmick. If you're trying to improve your grip strength, just get a bunch of captains of crush grippers and give yourself tendonitis like we all did in the 2010s. Do it like a man, damn it. But Bob Vogel can close a number five. I'm not Bob Vogel. Fuck. But I think at the same time that, like, I think there's a lot of gimmick products out there, I think that there's a group of people, psychopaths, who are so obsessed with dry fire that they maybe forget that most people aren't going to do that and aren't really interested in doing that.
That there is benefit, there is significant benefit. And if you get into, chats with like the ASVR crew or the Mantis crew or anything like that, there's significant benefits in making your product very accessible through other means and interesting through other means. Therefore, if I have to give you a comfort aspect, even if that aspect's a little distracting from the core principle, if my distracting little aspect, my little bit of glimmer and glitter and fun that I add to it gets 100,000 people to do it instead of 1,000 people, is one, making the money. Two, is my net benefit to the sport much greater?
Paul just sent me a neat link. Hey guys, go to AmericanRifleman.org and read Paul's review of the Taurus Model 58, which, where did you get a, dude, I didn't even know we had launched a nickel one. That's so cool. Yeah. Guys, you need a DASA 380 in nickel. That's the size of a Glock 19, for the record.
Yes. I bet it sh shoots just wonderfully soft, though.
Paul, how does it
That's an
shoot?
awesome action.
Well, it's a little bit different than what I'm used to, but it's reliable as hell.
I mean, it ought to be. It's a straight blowback 380 that's the size of a Glock 19. It's a very proven design there. We've been making big straight blowback 380 since like the 19, since like 19. When did the Beretta come out? 34, I think, was the first one of those.
Yeah. You're talking about the Italian ones, yeah.
All right, so dry fire. Guys, it's good. You should do it. It makes you better at shooting.
You should do it.
However,
You should do it well. If you're going to do it well.
and look, so
Lift
we'll talk about that.
properly. Don't hurt your back.
Yeah. And for a second, like talking about that, like the discipline required in dry fire, right? The most common dry fire method is the decreasing part-time Steve Anderson method. If you're not familiar with that, go rustle up. The idea is basically you say, okay, I know I can do a reload in 2.5 seconds. My goal is 1.9 seconds. So I'm going to start, I'm going to do 5 reps at 2.5 seconds, then I'm going to decrease the part time to 2.4, do 5 reps, and I'm going to keep decreasing the part time until I can no longer get 5 clean reps. Then I'm going to go back to the last part time I was able to get 5 clean reps at, and then keep trying to grind your way down, right? To do that successfully, especially when you're doing something like draws or target acquisition or anything like that, you have to have the ability to be honest with yourself, and you have to be able to say, I pressed the trigger before the sights were on target, or I that wasn't really a clean reload. I kind of botched it and jammed it in there. And then the other dry fire method is the one that my friend Julie advocates for, which is perfect practice. Julie is a big believer that dry fire is your opportunity to do everything right in a controlled environment. So regardless of the speed that you're moving at, she didn't say that you should go, like a snail's pace, but do things at a comfortable, controlled pace that you can continue to do. And as it turns out, the benefit of that is that builds myelination on, all of your, look, I know we're not supposed to say muscle memory anymore. It fucking builds muscle memory, okay? Like, listen.
I genuinely hate that term, but it is an illustrative term. Just here's another term I hate, to pivot. I hate the gun should surprise you when it goes off. I
No,
hate that
it
term.
shouldn't. You're telling it to go
I hate
off.
that term. No, you should know the exact moment you were setting that shot off because you were responsible for that explosion and where that projectile ends up. So please know the exact moment and reason that the gun is going off. However, I understand what they're illustrating in the set that, like, if I'm focusing on my sights and I'm focusing on the proper pause in my breathing and everything like that, I should have no disruption of all of that when the gun goes off. So it should surprise me because I'm focusing on everything else. I understand that. I hate the phrase, the gun shouldn't surprise you as it's going off. You should
Well,
very deliberately know the gun is going off.
I think a lot of those phrases, and I do mean a lot of those phrases, they've come to us with good intentions, and over the course of, 100 years of marksmanship instruction and training, they've gotten reduced to nonsense phrases, right? Like they're, now it's just the gun should surprise you when it goes off, or
Slow, smooth, smooth as fast,
slow as
number one.
smooth as fast, right? And I'm sure there's Paul, what's another one?
Sight picture stuff. And to your point, all of these old sayings that have been distilled down come from a very traditional sport shooting discipline. Like, yes, if you're shooting at standard SR, whatever bull size, like, yes, you need to have that perfect 6 o'clock hold. Yes, you need to have that trigger pull, which I also disagree with. All those things make sense in the context of target shooting, and that stuff got distilled down to general purpose training, and I think it lost the context.
I'd agree with that. I would agree a lot of that. I think probably the biggest not culprit, the worst violator, the worst example of it is the goddamn chart, that target chart that's like break your
Yeah, they're
wrist
like,
up,
oh, you're breaking
regulate.
low, or
Yeah, that one.
you're like,
Do people
no.
still take that seriously? Like, it's not 2008 anymore. It's not
I have a updated
1977
version of that
anymore.
chart, and it just says you suck in every single one of the outer parts, and then the center is that's good, keep doing that.
Yeah, I
And in
have
my
also
opinion,
seen
that is a
that.
much more illustrative target than the one with all the goofy little, you're pushing too much trigger finger, too little trigger finger, unless you have an instructor actually looking at what's going on, because I can shoot that target with a gun upside down in my hands, friggin' trying to pull the trigger with my pinky finger and doing all kinds of goofy shit. And it's like, no, there's zero results there. There's no results there.
Fun fact, real ones will remember that I have been, how do we put this gently? Highly critical in the past of the of Mantis, right? And its perceived benefits for the reasons that we're talking about, right? But I have grown up and chilled out, and like, if people want to dry fire with Mantis, if that's what gets them doing it, Nitto Torpedo, go ahead, have fun. God bless you. Spend money. Like, spend more money in the industry, please.
If it gets you, if it entertains you, gets you firing, it fulfills all those little boxes that you need to do the thing more, go do it.
Yeah.
Get it.
So the reason that I, the thing that with the triggering moment for me and Mantis, triggering, I'm so funny. Many, many,
Aha.
many, 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 many moons ago was I was at, I don't know, NRAM or SHOT, I forget. I was probably, it was SHOT because they were down in the basement, and I was walking around, and I was with Annette Evans, and we went to the Mantis booth, and they're like, "Oh, you got to try our thing. Like, see how good, your dry fire is." So like, I picked the gun up, like, I line the sights up, press the trigger pretty quick to the rear. I got like an 80 something, right? And I'm like, first off, that shot would have been a hit. So it is by default not an 80; it is 100 because it hit what I was aiming at. So then I'm like, hold on, change the settings on this thing, and I turn the gun upside down. Stick it out, holding the gun upside down, pressing the trigger with my pinky finger, and get like a 99. Like, it basically said that was a perfect shot. And I'm like, so what you're measuring is my trigger press. That's the only thing that, and this was, again, a very early version of Mantis, and the only thing that it really could measure was your trigger press. So that set me on a path of being like, this thing's junk. It's not junk, guys. I was one of those guys who was like, if you're not dry firing 30 minutes a day, all right. And I grew up, okay? We all, everybody's got to grow up sometime.
Guys, we all have shit to do. We work in the industry and we have shit to do.
Oh,
We shoot a
Lord.
lot and we have shit to do.
So many things to do. So much to do, so much to say. Oh, sorry. Anyway, I blacked out there for a
You'll
second.
never shine if you don't glow.
Hey now.
Hi
You're an all-star.
guys, we're millennials. What
What a
wonderful
great.
movie are we referencing?
I know, right? All right. So where was I? I don't even know where I was going with that. Somebody just sent me a bunch of links to moon clip carriers on, and I'm like, ooh, I should spend money.
I did that yesterday. I went to my buddy's one of my buddy's shops because I've got two LGS here that I really like. One's got a range, one doesn't. So I went to my range buddy one, and I go in there and I'm like, I'm not spending any money. I'm just here to zero stuff because it was Thursday. Therefore, I switched around a bunch of optics.
It is Thursday. I feel that. Oh, Lord.
And so I end up there. I wander in. I spend. You know, I do my little range fee. I get a gun to another buddy of mine through transfer, and it's like, all right, I'm good, I'm out. And then I notice that he's got steel C-zone targets in the corner, and I make the mistake of going, "Hey, bud, do you have stands for those? Because right now they're not stands, and if they don't come with stands, obviously I'm not getting them." And he goes,
Right.
"Yeah, hold on." And I'm like, "Okay, I get,
Damn it.
I'm buying more C-zones. Okay, I can use them. I can, I promise." But yeah, spent
Oh,
money.
man. It'd be like that though, and that's good. We're supporting the people. Dry fire thing. I think the other funny thing about the dry fire thing, to go back to like the devices and all of that stuff, and the fact that it is like a solution for boredom. I think part of it too comes from the fact that for a while, we as a community, and I am guilty of this, we were telling people to do absolutely insane amounts of dry fire. Like, there was a time frame where the thing to tell people in the competition community was you should be dry firing for an hour 3 times a week. And I don't have, like, if you have the flavor of autism that lets you do that, congratulations, you're probably a grandmaster. I don't have
Like
that flavor of
if you take the
autism.
old Bowflex freaking 20 minutes a day, 3 times a week. Good amount, but like good on you for sticking it out for 20 freaking minutes. I usually do like a 5 minute session, and then I have to go do something else because the ADHD be like that.
My rule when I'm actually seriously training and trying to use dry fire as a tool to improve my shooting skills is from the time I put my dry fire gear on until the time that I take it off is 15 minutes. And that 15 minutes includes any loading mags, resetting drills, resetting speed loaders, all of that is 15 minutes. If it goes past those 15 minutes, I very, very rarely will I be able to get focused and get quality reps, because there is a danger in dry fire that people don't talk about, and that's burning in bad reps. Because you can. Dry
You
fire has to be
the
validated
same,
with live fire.
you get the same sort of fatigue that you can get by chasing a zero on a rifle or chasing a zero on a handgun, where you've done it too much, and now you're getting increasingly bad results because you have burnt through, you've burnt out.
I was doing that with my, I was trying to zero my 6.5 the other day, and I shot like a 3-shot group at 100 yards. That all went, it was maybe a half an inch. The center of the group was maybe a half an inch outside of the point of impact that I wanted. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do 2 more clicks. And I did 2 more clicks because they're quarter MOA clicks. And the next 3-shot group was like 2 inches out of where I wanted it to be. And I'm like, this is impossible. I checked everything, everything was tight. And I started chasing that and zero around in a circle. And I'm like, oh, and so you know what I did? I packed my fucking gun up and went home, because I'm like, I am not gonna get this today. This is not happening. 2 weeks later, I go to the range, load the gun, sit down on the bags, have nice stable position, 100 yards, cold bore shot, right down Broadway. I'm like, okay, we're fine.
I was getting, because I zeroed, like, hasty zeroed like six rifles yesterday. So by the fourth one, I didn't have good groups anymore. Thank God the fifth one was just to confirm. So I get behind it, X95. I get behind it. I squeeze the round. It goes exactly where I want it to. And I'm like, yay, I'm done. Put it back.
Hooray.
Hooray. Gun still zeroed. I was not sure, but it sailed right where it needed to. And I'm like, yay, thank you. But yeah, on that fourth gun, stuff was getting a little wild, and it was, I'm trusting groups, and I'm going to confirm later at greater distances under less fatigued situations. Because guys, you shouldn't stop at 25. 25 is your start. 25 is your start on paper, and then go confirm at 50 or 100, depending on your optic and caliber.
No, some things you should zero at 25. I zero most of my PCCs at 25,
Yes,
like
20,
nine mil
25 yard
PCCs.
zeros on PCCs make sense. Most of your iron sights are also set for 25 yards, 25 meters. So.
Would you guys like to, speaking of nine mil PCCs, would you guys like to know what the most just gun nerd optic that I have is? And it's real niche. So I have two, not one, but two of the Trijicon 1.5 power ACOGs, which are
I love
great little
those.
rifle optics, with a 115 grain 9 millimeter BDC reticle in it. Now, guys, when I tell you that,
That's some PCC right there.
like a
I
beat,
have, I had, I don't have
and it
anymore.
works too. That's the
Oh, it does.
crazy thing. I got a 200-yard hit on a steel plate with one of those just from using the BDC, and I'm like, what is happening right now? They're
My
really
the
cool.
craziest PCC shot I have been witness to. I was out with my buddy Tom Alibrando, and we're at an AK course. But he's an old MP5 SWAT guy. Like he ran on SWAT in Arizona with an MP5 from back in the day, and he gets out his Dakota Tactical MP5, and he just goes, I wonder. And we have 300 yards steel out there, 300 yard C zone steel that we've been hitting with 5.56 and 7.62, 39, 5.45, AK stuff. But he's like, and he just presses it out freehand, squeezes around, and then a satisfying ding comes back to us, and he goes, okay, I'm done.
Like, I'm good. I shot a video today that will, it's a reel. Well, it's part of it's a reel. It's also going to be a full YouTube, like a 5 minute YouTube video about 9 mil accuracy through 357 mag barrels. And I've got a 100 yard, I got an AC or a full IPSC torso at 100 yards. And the first shot, I nail it with this 3-inch executive grade. And the cackle that I cackled, I was like, I should just go home now. But I'm like, no, I'm going to keep shooting. And I go 5 for 7 on it. And I'm like, I'm not going to lie. If we have any youthful listeners out there, I was really hoping to go 6 out of 7 on it just so I could have done the thing. But I did not. So I didn't, I couldn't. But yeah, that was good times. Good times. Oh boys, we've been a little bit all over the map today. Paul, give me some closing thoughts on dry fire.
Gadgets are fun, playing is fun, but there's nothing for actually interacting with your gun and your dot, and most importantly, reading what your dot is telling you. As you grip, as you break the trigger, like you can't replace that with a plastic dongle. That is the correct word, by the way, for peripheral technological items. You need
Dongle.
to
We know,
get
we know. If you're just listening to the audio
it.
version, I made a face. As it
Didn't
turns out, guys, plastic is no substitute for the real thing. Apply that to whatever area of life you feel is appropriate.
know.
Oh,
Dry
Keith, final
fire's
thoughts on
great.
dry fire.
It's not that
Well, now
deep.
that we're
Real
sponsored
gun.
by Adam and Eve too.
Tylenol, check. Adam and Eve. When is that check coming? Oh, man.
I'll be on the I'll be on a call with him here in a minute for marketing.
Lord.
Oh, we're stupid. I love it.
Yeah, we are.
Thoughts on dry fire. You should do it, and you should do it properly. Make sure you're in that proper headspace, that proper mindset, and you're tracking your whether you've got iron sights or a dot. If you don't have a dot, you can still do this with iron sights. We're not saying you can't. You can still get value out of doing it with iron sights, but make sure you're doing it in that proper, 10, 15 minute time frame, like we were talking about earlier, so that you actually get the proper reps out of it, and you can go validate it with a live fire. I've been working with a couple of officers who M17, M18, like they do not spend the time, because their jobs are other things. They don't spend the time shooting, so this is a mysterious piece of equipment to them. Dry fire is closing a lot of the gaps that we have between being able to practice live fire sessions.
My final thoughts on dry fire, you should do it. I agree with everything everybody else has said. You should also go buy Annette Evans, the Dry Fire Primer on Amazon. It's $10 for the paperback or $5 for the Kindle. And it is, and the reason I say that is if you go and look for like Steve Anderson's Dry Fire book, it's been out of print forever. And like used copies of it are like $100. So go get Annette's $9 book and you'll be in great shape. Yeah,
It'd be
hey,
helpful.
refinement and repetition, dry fire skills for dramatic improvement. I purchased my copy from Amazon because I'm logged into my Amazon account right now in the year of our Lord 2010. I want to see all buying options before I end this. Collect, ha! It's $200.
Oh, Lord.
I'm putting my dry fire book. I'm gonna convert it. I'm gonna take. Scan it. I'm going to convert it to a PDF and then I'm going to sell this thing on Amazon for 200 bills. Good Lord. All right, guys. That's really it for this episode. Again, thank you everyone for liking, sharing, subscribing. Make sure that you hit all those buttons, do all of those things, kidnap a friend, force him to listen to every back episode, all 200 plus. Oh, did you know last week was episode 200, guys?
It was. We
Hooray.
spaced it until afterward. I was like, oh, yeah,
Yeah,
it
should have done something.
was.
I don't know. Had a goth girl on here or something. Anyway, that's it. Bye.